Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. And it's Luke 7, verses 1 to 10 on page 1035 of the Church Bibles. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do please be seated. My mother used to love the entertainment show Surprise, Surprise, hosted by Cilla Black. It included surprising members of the public by enabling them to fulfill long-held wishes. Sometimes it involved setting up tricks or prank calls to fool the public. But most of all, my mother loved it when guests were reunited with long-lost loved ones. You always knew when it was about to happen. Cilla would say something like, "You haven't seen your sister for years now, have you?" And they would reply, "No, when she moved to Australia, we totally lost touch." And you just knew that Cilla had tracked down that long-lost sister, and any time soon she would walk out on the stage and there'd be lots of tears and hugs. Surprises can be good or they can be bad. Good is hearing about a friend who had been told she'd never be able to have a baby, who is now pregnant. A great surprise, indeed a miracle, for her and for her family. Bad was when I came home a few years ago to find that our house had been broken into. Good was finding that despite the mess, they had found nothing of value and the damage they had caused was reasonably easy, if costly, to fix. But even nice surprises may be perceived as bad if those concerned have had no time to prepare for them. I was once talking to some friends about surprise birthday parties. They had mixed reactions. Some loved the idea, others hated it, mostly because they wanted to know beforehand so that they would A, be wearing something nice, and B, not be completely exhausted because they'd spent the whole day gardening, thinking that they had a quiet evening ahead of them rather than a late night partying. Well, you might think, what's the connection between Cilla and the centurion? There are lots of surprises in today's reading. When Luke introduces us to the centurion, he's not quite what we expect. The occupying Roman forces were generally despised by the Jews. They imposed puppet rulers, King Herod was one of these, and levied all sorts of taxes upon the people. In many different ways, the Romans made sure that the Jews knew just who was in control. For example, Matthew 5:41, a Roman soldier could force a civilian to carry his equipment for 1 mile. These demands greatly rankled the Jewish population. So when Luke says centurion, Jews, and probably we, would automatically think Israel's enemy. But as we read on, we discover that in this case, quite the opposite is true. Now, this is the context. The centurion's servant was sick, seriously sick. In fact, he was about to die. Luke 7:3, The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal him. This is extraordinary. This man, this so-called enemy of the Jews, seeks out a Jewish healer. He sends Jewish elders to speak to Jesus on his behalf. He could have ordered Jesus to come to him. He could have sent some soldiers to come and get Jesus. Instead, he sends the elders of the village, and they clearly come willingly. We see that in their earnest pleading on the centurion's behalf. They really want Jesus to help him. Luke 7:4-5, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. And this is a picture of the 4th century synagogue in Capernaum, and apparently it was built on the site of the previous one and the previous one before that. Whenever the Romans added another country to their vast empire, they tended to allow that nation to continue worshipping in the way that they were used to, as long as it didn't interfere with keeping law and order. They didn't set out to antagonize their conquests. But this centurion went far beyond passively allowing people to worship the way they wanted. He actively encouraged it by paying for and building a synagogue. Clearly, the centurion respected the Jewish faith and way of life, as well as being open to God. He loves our nation. The Jews would have called him a God-fearer, a Gentile who believed in Yahweh rather than in idols or foreign gods. Not only that, but he clearly also understood there was something very special about Jesus. This enemy of the Jews didn't call Jesus Rabbi. He didn't call him healer. He called him Lord. This was extraordinary. Luke 7:6. Jesus was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him. Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not consider myself worthy to come to you. Here's the thing. To secular eyes, the centurion had all the power and all the authority over Jesus. Jesus was an unarmed Jewish rabbi with a small band of followers, whereas the centurion had 100 fully trained and armed men at his disposal. But in the supernatural realm, it was Jesus who had all the power and all the authority. And we know this from Matthew 26:53. When Jesus was seized in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Now, a Roman legion had 6,000 soldiers, and Jesus is talking about more than 12 times 6,000, as an American would say, do the math. I'm not going to, but basically, it's a picture. Jesus is saying, I can do anything I want. I have all the power and all the authority to do anything and everything that I want. And somehow the centurion has understood this. He sent friends to speak to Jesus on behalf. And they speak as if it were the centurion himself who was standing there in front of Jesus. Their words are humble and deferential. I do not deserve to have you come to me. I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. This was an extraordinary statement from the Roman centurion. And he then uses an analogy from his own life to show just why he was so confident that Jesus didn't need to come to his house. Luke 7:7-8, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. The centurion understood the power of the spoken word. Just as he had to obey orders from his superiors, his own soldiers and servants have to obey him whenever he tells them to do anything. But his words actually suggest something much bigger, much bolder. By mentioning that his authority comes from higher up, his words imply that Jesus' authority to command that his servant be healed also comes from a higher source. But having called Jesus Lord, there's only one possible higher source, and that's God, God himself. And this is what's so extraordinary about the centurion's words. He isn't just announcing that he believes Jesus has the ability to heal, because lots of people in Judea at that time believed that Jesus had the power to heal. Okay, he took it further. He believed that Jesus had the power to heal from a distance. But actually, what he is saying when he talks about authority, he's saying something about who Jesus is and where he comes from. And all of this was from a non-Jew. No wonder Jesus was so astonished. Luke 7:9-10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. The only other record of Jesus being amazed is in Mark 6:6, when he was shocked by the people of Nazareth. He'd gone to Nazareth, and the people there rejected him. And it actually says that he wasn't able to do any miracles there because of their lack of faith. But this time in Capernaum, he's surprised in the opposite way. The totally unexpected level of faith demonstrated by the centurion must have been so encouraging. And it was also a glimpse of the future. It was a glimpse of the time when thousands of Gentile believers would come and follow Jesus. It's also a reminder that we cannot second guess God. The most unlikely people may be far more open to Jesus than we think. God is definitely the God of surprises. So this made me think. I found myself thinking about how God has surprised me in the course of my life and ministry and the effect this has had on me. Some of you may remember Rini. Rini used to sit on the front row of our 10:30 service. She was quite elderly and she had severe learning difficulties. She loved coming to church, but it was hard to know quite what she made of it. When she became frail, I was asked to take her home communion. Rosemary Simpson offered to accompany me. I made it as simple as possible, explained what I was doing as if I was speaking to a child. Rini nodded and smiled, but we weren't quite sure what she understood. I wanted her to feel part of what we were doing, so I asked her if she would break off a piece of the bread and give it to me. As she did so, my eyes filled with tears. I'm tearing up right now just thinking about it. Rosemary, I had tears rolling down my cheeks. Rosemary looked at me in astonishment. Then Rini did the same thing to her. And as Rosemary received the bread, her eyes also filled with tears. The same thing happened when we shared the cup of wine. And afterwards in the car, we talked about what had happened. And the only way I could explain it was that when Rini handed me the bread and I looked into her eyes, it was like looking into the eyes of Jesus. And Rosemary experienced exactly the same thing. Rini had no language with which to talk about faith, but that didn't matter. God used her to bless us mightily, and it taught me a powerful lesson. God doesn't discriminate. He comes to everyone who is willing to receive him, regardless of their race, status, or ability. God uses the most unexpected people. No one is outside God's remit. Jesus certainly didn't expect to encounter such faith from the centurion, and we certainly didn't expect to encounter God so powerfully through someone who was so vulnerable. God is the God of surprises. There are no barriers. And I'm also challenged by the centurion's total faith in Jesus to heal. While I know Jesus can heal, I'm not always so sure that he will. Fortunately, God can bypass our lack of faith. Nigel and Julie used to be members of this church until they moved away a couple of years ago. For a while, they popped in whenever they were in the area. Nigel had a history of back trouble. The doctors tried all sorts of things. He was on a cocktail of drugs. On one of his visits, I asked Nigel if he wanted me to pray for him. To be honest, I didn't expect anything to happen. He had been prayed for so many times before without any change in his situation. And Nigel told me later that he didn't expect anything to happen either. But he didn't want to be rude, so he said yes. I prayed briefly, and Nigel went home. The following week, he was back, bubbling with excitement. That night, he had slept pain-free for the first time for ages. When he woke up, he realized he could sit and stand and move without wincing. With the doctor's approval, he came off all his drugs. I was delighted for him. I also felt humbled because of God's grace to both of us when we had both been so uncertain that anything would happen. I also felt rather ashamed at my lack of belief. God is the God of surprises. And actually, this episode with Nigel has encouraged me to keep praying for people to be healed and keep going for prayer to be healed myself when I'm sick. Because I know that God can do it. It doesn't necessarily mean my prayers for healing are answered in the way that I expect or that in the way that I want, but I know that God can do it. Bishop Tom Wright says this: "Of course, sometimes we ask for something and the answer is no. God reserves the right to give that answer. But this story of the centurion shows that we should have no hesitation in asking. Is Jesus the Lord of the world, or isn't he?" And this is the point of Luke's story. Jesus is the Lord of the world. I mentioned Mark 6:5-6, when Jesus went to Nazareth, and Jesus made it clear to the people of Nazareth that he could have done so much more if they had believed. He was shocked at their lack of faith. And that got me thinking, how much more might God be able to do through our prayers if we really began believing for more? And I believe God wants us to take hold of this story of the centurion, to begin believing for more, and to be more confident that he can and will answer our prayers. I believe God wants to surprise us with what he can do, both in us and through us. And I believe God would love us to surprise him by the depth of our faith and our trust in him. Wouldn't that be great if we managed to surprise God? Amen.